Welcome to Credit Matters Newsletter for June 2019. Our monthly newsletter contains information about financial risk management issues, blogs, advice of new business listings, and free advice from organisations such as ASIC. What's new at Credit Matters? We are looking forward to our new competition challenge commencing on the 1st of July. Be sure to visit our website to obtain full details and have a go. We welcome the participation of our overseas acquaintances and those wishing to become a Credit Matters member. The Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman has focused on the protection of tradies and subcontractors with their flyer, which we have attached to this newsletter. Accordingly, we thought it timely to add details of our own free feature, Helping Tradies to Get Paid. I have added a second attachment from the Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman on small businesses hurt by financial misconduct encouraged to file legacy complaints. If you know a small business owner who has been disadvantaged by another business, this information may be of value to them in making a claim. Other attachments with this newsletter include my own article, which appeared in the AICM magazine, pointing out the value of employing a professional credit manager or a person well-versed in accounts receivable. Finally, there is an introductory brochure from Global Data offering a range of products suitable for small and medium-sized businesses. Don't forget, if you wish to promote your business services at an affordable rate, contact Kim at kim@creditmatters.com.au. You'll be surprised at the value we have to offer. Quote of the month: a written agreement is better than 10 verbal ones. CMI, Credit Mediators Incorporated. Monthly business observation. Terms of trade credit agreements maximise your chances of being paid. One of the essential factors in business is an effective trade credit trading agreement. Of course, just because you have a properly prepared agreement and the customer signs that agreement, there is still no certainty it can protect you from bad debts or slow payers. A properly prepared agreement signed by the customer, however, is still one of the most useful tools for any business. Conversely, having an out-of-date trading credit agreement, or one that has been cobbled together from other agreements, is a financial disaster just waiting to be put into action. One of the main benefits of having a signed and properly prepared agreement is that it sets the boundaries of the trading relationship between the supplier and the customer. A good agreement is one that is suitable for your business and customer types, is up to date, and prepared by a lawyer, which is active in debt collection, who is prepared to defend their work in court, and helps protect the interests of the business. Depending on the type of business and range of customers, it may be prudent to have different types of trading credit agreements. This will help protect your business from the different customer types and marketplaces which may be targeted. There are times when a simple agreement with few terms on it is all that is required. Other situations may call for a more complex agreement. Trading credit agreements are also great selling documents when used properly because they also show up the integrity of the customer before any goods and services are supplied. Some customers refuse point blank to sign agreements, and these customers should only be supplied for cash up front with cleared funds. Other customers will sign the document and strike out certain clauses without warning you. Again, these customers should perhaps only be sold on an upfront basis or at best on restricted terms. They have, after all, warned you that they are testing the strength of your business practices and are not prepared to be open about their way of doing business. Other customers will want to negotiate in good faith, and there's nothing wrong with that approach because they are upfront about how they like to do business. Perhaps these customers are the best type of customer because you have the best chance of structuring a profitable relationship. Finally, there are those customers which will sign your agreement with no intention of honouring it. You only damage your business needlessly if you continue to do business with them after finding out about their deception. Once you have a properly prepared and signed agreement, there are so many potential opportunities to collect the debt if your debt collector or lawyer understands the laws of debt collection. Going through the courts with an aim of just getting a judgment is only one aspect of debt collection. There are many more cost-effective options if you have an open mind and a good debt collector or lawyer. It all begins, however, with a properly prepared trading credit agreement suited to your business, customer, and marketplace. Monthly business conundrum. When creditors seek payment from their debtors for unpaid invoices, they are finding their ability to be paid within terms is being effectively reduced. The reasons for this change are costs, court processes, legislative escape clauses for debtors, and a changing attitude by debtors to paying their debts. In addition, should the credit provider be paid, an insolvency administrator can still come along 6 months after the debt has been paid and claim the funds as a preferential payment. In such an environment, many creditors must wonder if granting business-to-business credit is still a profitable exercise. That is a fair call because the point of business is to make a profit. If your sales process does not allow a profit to be made because the debtor has too many options available to avoid payment, then why offer credit at all? Business people also forget the principal reason why there is little business-to-consumer credit today. Basically, too many consumer debtors just did not pay their debts and creditors were virtually powerless to effectively collect the debts. Can this situation be repeated in business-to-business credit? Well, of course it can, and we are already seeing this happening because in some industries, business-to-business credit is no longer offered. In these industries, there is no hesitation in demanding cash up front or part payments. Therefore, is it still practical for your business to extend business-to-business credit these days? Amongst the benefits of not offering credit is the removal of all the associated costs involved in selling on credit. Remove these costs and you can offer a cheaper price and it becomes a compelling sales tactic if sold properly. This month's Business Inconvenient Truth. Risk is a normal part of business and you ignore the possibility of risk to the detriment of your emotional well-being and bank balance. It is a wise business person who understands the risks associated with business in general and within their specific industry. There are many business people today who operate on the principle that risk will not affect them, the cost to manage the problem, if it occurs, can be managed, or they can avoid it altogether by just closing down their business. Business people may avoid some of the costs by walking away or ignoring the problems caused by risk to some degree. In the long term, however, most will not, as they find the costs of risk avoidance continue to haunt them for many years into the future. Today there are no secrets. Directors and officers of a business are finding they can still be held accountable for avoiding risks. Insurance policies no longer protect the guilty as once they might have, and insolvency and bankruptcy laws have changed. In recent years, there has been the involvement of litigation funders, which have also changed the landscape when it comes to pursuing perceived and actual failings of business people. There are many different types of risk in the modern business environment as business practices and responsibilities have changed. Therefore, all business people should accept that managing risk is usually a better proposition than trying to avoid risk. Word of the month. Is the spelling break-even one word, break-even two words, or break-even hyphenated? It's very common where a word can be used as a compound word, two separate words, or if the two words hyphenated. Sometimes all three can be correct based on your usage, but at other times, one or more may be a secondary spelling or may be incorrect usage. If we check break-even one word, break-even two words, and break-even hyphenated using Google, and limiting sites to sites ending in .au, the number of results returned are 67,400, 156,000, and 161,000 respectively. The Australian Oxford Dictionary only lists break-even as two words. The Macquarie Dictionary lists break-even two words and break-even hyphenated. Neither dictionary lists break-even one word, which indicates break-even as a compound word may not be correct. Those using Microsoft Word should take care, as Word accepts break-even one word as a valid spelling. The Macquarie Dictionary describes break-even hyphenated as a noun derived from the phrasal verb break-even two words. Thus, break-even two words is a phrasal verb, e.g., usage as a phrasal verb. The company aims to break even by year end. Two words. Usage as a noun. The company may never reach break even. hyphenated. In addition, break-even hyphenated can be used as an adjective. The company needs to know their break-even point, hyphenated. Whether break-even hyphenated or break-even two words is used depends on your usage. At least in Australia, break-even one word as a compound word should most likely be considered to be an error. Thank you for listening to this month's Credit Matters newsletter.